You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
Episode 422. We finally had the time to get together for Geekiest Show Ever.
Finally.
Life got in the way, or not necessarily in the way, but life happened.
Oh, no, it got in the way. It got in the way in a big, big way. It's been a rough couple of weeks here. And in fact, I forgot to warn you pre-show, I'm going to be riding the mute button because I've got deliveries headed my way and my roof is still not finished, which is what got in our way last time. I'm not even going to go. It's drama. And I'm not even going to go into details except for the fact that we're finally just waiting. It's almost done. The shingles are on and it looks beautiful. I have a, can you guess what color my roof is, Elisa?
Is it black or slate or?
Nope.
Purple?
It's purple. I have a purple roof. I have a purple house. Or at least it will be by the time I'm done with it. it's not. Okay, so you know, don't freak out, people. It's not like completely purple. It's in my mind, it's purple. The name of the shingle is called Midnight Plum. And I think it's, I want to say it was Owens Corning is the name of the company. This is, you know, this is a lot of adulting. You know, when I was younger, I didn't care about any of this kind of stuff. And now you get older, it's like you start looking at birds and you start looking up what birds are called. you know you've grown up when you start looking out and start paying attention to birds and things like roof shingles. And well, actually, this is the second time, I'm pretty proud of myself, this is the second time that I have picked out a roof shingle for our home, and not the same home, thankfully. That would be terrible. But our last house, we had to get the roof replaced. So this is not my first rodeo, which is, I think, why I'm so stressed out, because with our last house, it was a very old house. And so, you know how it is. You lived in a very old house. You know about the kinds of things that can go wrong.
Yeah, ugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, and you know, that it all worked out. We survived, but it does bring back a little bit of PTSD because with that first one, and it's always storm related, of course. And it's taken a year and like now 6 days or something like that. We started this process over a year ago. Normally it doesn't take that long, no. But I don't know what happened. I know there's been a lot of storm activity. Like, you know, just looking through my neighborhood, I've seen roofs get done. I mean, the whole neighborhood got impacted and, you know, just everywhere. So it wasn't just our roof, lots and lots of storm damage. So the roof looks amazing as far as, you know, the shingles are concerned, but it's the darn solar panels. That's something that, oh my gosh, I wish I understood that stuff. I wish I could understand all of the tech and the math and everything that goes into that. I don't even know like really where to start. Someday, if I ever do get into that, in fact, I might start learning more about it. Our panels are fairly old, and I did do a little bit of research just to bring it around to the nerdy geeky side. And I did try to find out if our inverter, because just quick backstory, when we bought this house, the panels came with it. But no paperwork or information came with it, unfortunately, because there wasn't a lease or anything. They just were already owned, which was, we thought, was a really great deal. It turns out not so much. And so the inverter's around 12, 15 years old or something like that. And I thought, well, that's not that old, but it doesn't have the module necessary to communicate with the internet. So we can't connect them to the internet. So we're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way, I guess, and try to figure out from our electric bill somehow, some way, with some kind of spreadsheet or something. So if anybody's listening, if we have any solar geeks out there, please, please, please contact us. And I would love to have a conversation with you about it. I can't promise I'm going to understand it. But if you can somehow figure out a way to digest it or explain it to us in an easy to digest format, I would love to, you know, have you on the show and talk about it. That would be wonderful. Tell us how to figure out how to make solar make sense, because right now it really doesn't. These are older panels. We're going to have to look at our electric bill and try to figure out, once they get reinstalled, are they working properly? Because the other problem is too, like some of them don't work. We had to have them reconfigured and salvaged, and so we have spares, and it's a whole thing. It's a whole drama thing. So if there are any solar geeks out there and you want to hear the story, I'll be glad to tell you all about it when people come here soliciting to the neighborhood. I send those people walking away with their tails between their legs. It's pretty funny to watch. It's kind of sad when I tell them what we've been through. So anyway, so that's just to say that I'll be riding the mute button in case they do show up and start banging on the roof. If you start hearing noises, that's what that'll be about. So we have a couple of topics we want to talk about, things that I want to get off my chest and brain dump about.
I'm just going to sit back and relax.
Well, I'll be asking you some questions and some feedback.
Please do, because I was at a concert again last night and I'm tired.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm tired today.
And now, of course, this app wants my username and password. So excuse me for one moment. I'm back. Sorry about that. I needed to cough and had to concentrate on entering that password. That's another thing that irritates me. Okay, so let's see. Let me get a couple of things out of my way. So first, before I dive into the main topic, a couple of things happened just today. I just got my driver's license update. Lisa, where are you guys at in your state? You're in New York. Are you guys on the list for being able to put your driver's license in your phone yet?
No. We're just
really?
We're real ID. Yeah, we're just real ID.
Okay, now what's the difference? So I think this is called a travel ID. So what's the difference between the real ID and the travel ID?
I'm not 100%. I know one of them you can use to go, is it Canada and Mexico without a passport? Is that what that
Canada
is?
Canada and Mexico?
I could be completely wrong. But I think there's something where... I know at least in New York, but it's probably nationwide, you have to have a real ID just to get on a plane if you don't have your passport, even if you're traveling within the United States. So if I'm going from New York to Florida, I don't bring my passport with me. I just bring passports on cruises.
Right.
And I just show my license. And I have a real ID. Tom does not. So I have a reminder for March to get his license, which I hate to do because his license doesn't renew until... 2026, I believe. So now
how long normally are your licenses good for? Because I know when I lived in Pennsylvania, it was every 4 years.
8 years?
See, out here, it was crazy. Let me see. What is... When I originally got this, let's see, when was it issued?
Let me look at my one password.
Yeah. So when I got this other license, now, I forget what happened when I first moved out here. So I've been living out here for about 20 years.
Yeah, 8 years.
When I got this last license, I forget what happened. Why did I have to get another one? I can't remember. Anyway, so this was issued back in 2017. And then the expiration date, get this. I'm not awake enough to do the math on this, but when this was issued back in 2017, the expiration date wasn't until 2039. Now, let's see, this new one, and the only reason I had to get a new one, so it wouldn't expire, except for the fact that they, you know, they said you have to have a travel ID, just like for what you described, that so I don't have to take a passport just to go throughout the United States, because I don't have a passport yet, but just to be able to get on a plane, I need to have this travel ID. I don't think they're calling it a real ID here. Let me see. What is this new one now? This new one, it says it expires 2032. So that's very interesting. Why would it expire sooner than the original one? The original one was going to expire 2039, and now this one's going to expire 2032. That's interesting. So anyway, so now this has this little star on it, and it has all the new information. The picture's horrible. I was so excited because when I got in line, there was this young woman, and I could tell, you know, I followed the signs. You know, I had an appointment. I had a QR code. I signed up online. I tried to do everything through the MVVD website. I got to everything except for then it said, nope, you have to make an appointment because they needed a new picture. I was like, oh, great. I hate that part. Everybody hates that part. And, of course, I just got new bangs installed, and so my face looks different, so I definitely had to get a new picture. And I get in there, and I'm like, well, I must be in the right place because there's this young lady, and she's, you know, doing up her makeup, making sure her eyelashes look all perfect. And so I got in line, and I said, oh, I must be in the right line because you look really pretty. And, you know, she was all smiles and everything. And she was so excited. She just passed her driver's license and was getting ready to take her picture. And the guy taking the picture was really nice. Like she blinked, you know, and so he redid it, and she had him do like two different takes, and I thought, all right, you know, this will be the one. And I go to get my picture taken, and I wasn't even ready. So like my picture, I look like I'm not ready. I definitely look like I'm not ready. So
do you have an American flag on yours?
Let's see.
I'm looking at the Real ID page for New York State.
And it just, the Arizona flag.
Okay, because this one shows a standard license, which is what a lot of people have, and that's the one that you can't use after if you're going to fly. If you're just someone who just needs a driver's license, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, like I wouldn't have had to have gotten this replaced, except that
and there's enhanced ID. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the difference between the two is if you have a real ID, which is what I have, I cannot use it to cross the border into Canada, Mexico, or some Caribbean countries. But with an enhanced ID, I can. It shows your residential address versus your mailing address, because some people it's different. Mm-hmm. And it's also an additional $30 charge to get the enhanced.
Yeah, this was $25.
And then shows a, you know, a white star and a black circle. That would be the real ID. And the enhanced has a picture of the American flag.
Oh, interesting. So mine must be the real ID because it just has the star and the circle. So this is the old one that I'm going to show you.
Okay.
So that's the old one.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the new one. And notice how my picture is in black and white now. See, it has the star in the corner there.
Yeah, so yours is a real ID.
Mm-hmm. But it just has the Arizona flag. It doesn't have the United States flag.
Yeah. Well, mine says, because it's the state you're from, because mine says New York, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so the only difference is, so tell me again about the American flag.
If you have the enhanced ID, at least in New York State, I'm not sure if this is nationwide, but if you have the enhanced ID, it shows the American flag instead of the white star with the circle.
Oh, the black and what circle. Does the enhanced do again?
It does the same. The enhanced does the same thing as the real, except you can use it to go into Canada, Mexico, and some Caribbean countries in lieu of a passport.
Oh, but you just have to pay extra for that.
$30.
Aha. Okay. I see.
But
I kind of wished I would have done that, because then I would have just had one card to carry. But anyway, so I wonder when they're going to add New York to that list, because I think there's only maybe about 2-3 states. I'll have to look and see. Maybe I'll try to add that to the show notes. I'll make myself a note to add the list of states who can add.
Yeah, it's only a handful right now. Is it Colorado? Is that one of them? Maryland, maybe? Sure. I don't remember.
So now I've helped a client. My husband has done it, and I think my oldest kiddo, they got their ID, and because they're under 21, so theirs is vertical. I think that's pretty smart. They make them horizontal if you're over 21, and vertical if you're under 21. And it's not a driver's license; it's just a regular photo ID. But both of them have been able to add their IDs to their Apple Wallet. I've seen the process. Have you seen it? It's kind of funny. You have to like open your mouth, and you have to turn your.
Kind
of like Face ID.
I was right. Colorado, yeah. Maryland,
good
Arizona,
guess.
And Georgia.
Good guess. You're going to be my phone-a-friend.
those are the four states right now where you can do that: Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, and Maryland.
Aha. Uh-huh. I wonder why that's just those states. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I'll report back on that process and how well how well it works for me. It's pretty standard. I've watched my client do it. It's kind of funny because, like I said, you have to open your mouth, you have to turn your head to the side. It's like Face ID when you first set it up, but a little bit more. There's several more steps to it. You have to frown, I think, or something. You have to show some kind of an emotion. I think you have to look down. So it captures a lot more angles of your face. So I'm excited to do that. My Apple Wallet is so populated with so many things. I'm kind of like a collector. I'm like a little Apple Wallet hoarder, I guess. I have so many things in there. I just showed it to I have a new client that I started seeing just a couple of days ago. And, you know, I eat my own dog food. What can I say? So when people ask me questions about it, I want to be able to show them, well, this is what you could do with your Apple Wallet. And I showed him all the things, and he was like, wow, you know, he was really surprised at all the stuff you could put in there. Because I'm kind of a big fan of not having to carry a wallet.
But look at mine that are expired. concert tickets.
Yeah, me too.
they're all concert tickets, the boarding passes for cruises.
Yeah.
Baseball games.
Do you keep them because you're sentimental like that?
Yeah. Delete.
Me too.
Yeah, these are all concerts and my boarding passes and baseball games. Yeah. The ones for Southwest to fly, I delete those. For a train, yeah. I delete those. Like hotels, yeah. I put the hotels in there too. I delete those. But the concert ones.
Concerts.
I keep those. Like this is my.
Yeah, because you have your bulletin boards behind you that have all your concert tickets. Huh. So now you've got your.
That's not all. That's just tiny portion.
You've got like every iteration of a concert ticket that there is, I think.
Yeah, but now
I've got the paper stubs.
Yep. And now I've got the printouts, and now I have to take screenshots because everything is through the phone.
Yeah, everything's digital. Yeah. Yeah. So how would you even
be
able to display all of that stuff?
I can't. So what I do is I take screenshots of it, and in my photos, I put albums of every concert I go to, and then I go to setlist.fm, and I take a screenshot of what the set list was.
Oh, cool.
And then I also put a screenshot of my ticket. And then I have a separate folder within my concert folder because I have the concert album. No, the concert folder. And then I have albums underneath for each concert. And then I have one album of just tickets.
So
the physical tickets I had, I scanned. And then the ones with the screenshot. And then I just have them in alphabetical order. So if I know, hey, I saw Tom Petty, how many times? And then I go down to the T's and I look up Tom. Okay, I saw him at this year and this date and this date and this date. But it's not, unfortunately, it is not inclusive because there's so many tickets I threw out in the past.
Before you started saving them all.
Yeah, yeah. And these were just ones I found that I have back here. It's like, I saw, like my friend was here and we were talking and she goes, I would love to have seen Queen. I said, I did. I don't remember, but I was there. I have a ticket to prove it. I remember going. Right. I don't remember the show itself, but I remember going and I have the ticket to prove it.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting to be that age where I'm starting to question my memories. I'm starting to, did that really happen? Did I do that? Did I just dream about it or something? And so a little side story real quick, just because it's applicable. My husband and I, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary of wedded bliss.
You're a child. You're a
child. Yes, a child bride, I know. we're practically newlyweds yet. It actually really did feel that way because what we did to celebrate our anniversary was on, Wednesday. And so we didn't go out until the weekend to actually like go out to dinner and stuff. But we went out and got a couples massage and then we came back. And so I said, let's cuddle up on the couch because I've been wanting to do this for so, so long, for 20 years to be exact. And we sat and I had been saving a long, long time ago, when we met, the way that we met was old school. Like this was before, eHarmony and Yahoo, like, any of the dating apps ever. We met in an AOL chat room. So after we hit it off, I started saving, just like you did with tickets, I started saving our conversations just because I wanted to look back on them, and plus I have ADHD. And so, I wanted to save it like, what did we talk about? Or, I didn't want to forget or... just stuff like that. And just for nostalgia purposes. And so it was a good thing I saved them. And it was also a good thing that in some cases, I don't know what made me think to do this, but I was smart enough to export some of them in HTML format. And so there is, I did find, I forget what it's called, but I did find an app, I think on GitHub, that will let you open iChat formatted messages, because that's what they were in, iChat format, because you can't just open them in Messages anymore, unfortunately. I think there is a more expensive app that I might just get because it does make it a little bit easier. And then what I need to do is convert them to PDF. So that's another little bit of a pro tip. If you're like me at all and you do, I know you're out there because I know my friend Elsie, she messaged me on Threads and said, I did that too. So if now's the time, don't forget about it. If you've got conversations, if you've got love letters or something that you've saved, don't forget, go convert those suckers before they become in an unreadable format that you can't get to anymore. So probably I would say a PDF or an HTML is going to be a format that has more longevity than something that's in an app. So, I mean, doc is probably going to be around forever, So, yeah, that's a little quick little nerdy tip is to try to make sure that you save that stuff in a format that you can get to later. But we did go through like our chat, you know, and we both were like, oh, this is going to be so cringe. You know, what did we talk about? You know, and it actually wasn't as bad as we thought, but it was really cute because there were some stories that I shared that I had doubted, like just little habits that I have, you know, with ADHD, because I only recently got a diagnosis, and I had shared some things that I had thought were recent behaviors. It turns out I've been doing it for over 20 years. And so it was very validating. So that was a fun little nerdy activity. So, okay, let's see. What else do I have on my list, my brain dump here? So I wanted to talk about that. We also have back to school going on. I've got my baby is a high schooler. We have a ninth grader, a freshman in the house. And my oldest is going to start college at the end of next month. So we've got back to school going on. Hubby has students for the first day today. So keep them in your thoughts, if you will.
Wow. I think Shane went back to school today to set up his room and for teacher meetings.
Yep.
The kids don't go back till the 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got to do all the classroom stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, we're trying to think about some ideas to try to make the classroom look a little bit nicer.
It's July. I know it's the 31st as we're recording this, but it's July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, this is the first time that Keegan's actually gone back to school, and he went back yesterday, so July 30th. He's never gone back to school in the month of July. Yeah. You know, I was shocked when it was like August. It just seems like it's creeping up sooner and sooner and sooner. It's like,
well, I've always been a proponent of year-round school. First of all,
as long as you give us more time off.
Well, no, yeah. I think there should be year-round school, but it's still equivalent to a regular school year. You just get different, like maybe you get the whole month of December off, or you get 2 weeks in December and 2 weeks in January for the Christmas break, and you get like the whole month of June, or you know, something like that, because I think it's way too much time. The kids lose so much between the end of the school year and the beginning of the next. So I think if you still gave them the same amount of days, but just divvied it up differently and had more vacation in between, I think parents would be less stressed, teachers would be less stressed, students would be less stressed.
I would totally be on board with that, and for two reasons. Well, in addition to the reasons that you just mentioned, but for one reason, because it would give us more consistency. Because for me, especially, like as a person with ADHD, like I thrive on routines and consistency. And once that summer hits, it's like, oh, as much as I love sleeping, and don't get me wrong, I love to sleep in because I'm a night owl, and I just, my sleep is all screwed up. But not having that routine, it just really throws me off, and it makes a mess out of everything. My medication schedule is all wonky, and it gets really horrible. So for the routine, and also because then I could stop hearing people complain about how teachers have it so easy and they have the whole summer off. It's,
you
like,
know what Shane did when he was here visiting? He had a Zoom meeting to hire a new teacher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
Nate works the summer.
I mean, he was up here in New York. He's in Virginia. And he got an email or a phone call from his principal saying, can you come to school tomorrow? Because we're interviewing a teacher. He said, no, I'm visiting my family. Well, can you go on Skype, you know, on Skype or Zoom or whoever they did
teachers
it?
Teachers don't.
And so
get
he had to stop
off.
What he was doing that day and interview a teacher. And he's not getting paid for any of this. He's doing this on his own time.
Yeah, not only do they not get the summers off, the work that they do over the summer is usually not paid, or it's not paid very well at all. So I would love to have all year school just to shut those people up, because I'm so sick of
it. And I think the kids get bored too. I know with my kids, we had a pool. So our school year goes September through June. Mm-hmm. And they would spend the month of July. They'd be outside playing. They'd go in the pool. And then come August, I say, why aren't you in the pool? And they would be bored, and they didn't want to admit they were bored. It's like, go to school. So they would never admit it, but a little piece of them was happy to go back to school because it gave them something to do.
Yeah, now here it's just so stinking hot. So I used to think, it makes sense that they close the schools because of air conditioning and stuff like that. But no, that's not the case, because plenty of businesses and schools stay open year round because they're still doing administration stuff all year round. So that's not the reason. I mean, I guess maybe, they don't have to air condition the classrooms as much or something. I don't know. But yeah, no, we've got to get our act together. It really should be all year round. For those reasons, the consistency, the kids wouldn't regress so much. It wouldn't be so hard for the teachers to try to redo, some of the stuff, rebuild them back up, to shut people up from complaining about teachers having their summers off. And then also, too, the last really big reason is because supposedly teachers have the summer off. even if that were true, that's the only time that we could take a vacation as a family when we do plan it. I mean, like I just said, you know, I just shared with my friends recently, we haven't taken a vacation, a real vacation, like where we went away somewhere, like left the state, except for an emergency funeral last year. But we haven't been on a real family vacation in like 7 years. Now that's partly in due, you know, because of the pandemic, but part of it was because he had to go back for his master's to further his career, you know, and so we couldn't do it then. And so by the time we could, that's the only time we can go and get together as a family, because the other times it's just a break here and there. It's not enough real time to really plan anything and then, you know, leave and make any plans. But if they worked the teachers along the same time as the staff, then, you know, then we could have like a normal life, just like everybody else. We could take vacation at the same time as other people. Whereas right now we can't go on vacation with another group, with another family, because we don't have that same kind of time off.
So well, that's why you have helpful. Longer vacations instead of having maybe one day off for Martin Luther King Day or Columbus Day or something like that.
Exactly.
Maybe you have 3 or 4 days, or maybe you have the whole week off.
Or long weekend.
Yeah. Longer
weekend. Yeah, so we could go on more trips.
But you plan it so this is 2024. Maybe it takes effect the 2028 school year. So it gives people enough time to say, get their mindset.
Right. That would boost the economy.
make arrangements for daycare and blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah, like pay teachers more, boost the economy, let us travel. I mean, come on, problem solved here. We can do this.
Okay, enough babbling. Talk to us about your spreadsheet.
All right. So before the show, I shared with Elisa a spreadsheet. So that was something we kind of tested out. We tested out some things in iCloud. I shared a numbers spreadsheet. So you've got it in front of you, Elisa. Mm-hmm. So you can see that. So the main topic here is I am on the hunt, as I have been. And I've been saying this over many episodes, and I'm finally really sinking my teeth into it. I am on the hunt for a really good finance management software. There's a lot of criteria that I have. And through this process, I'm learning about what my needs really are. What can I live with? What can I not live without? What's a deal breaker? What did I feel like I kind of got suckered into? You know, what is my workflow? What is my process when I'm a field technician? You know, it's not like I just work in an office. Like I leave the house, I go on house calls. I do also do remote where I do work from my office. I do both. So I have to be able to have something that's like that services my hybrid kind of environment. And so I keep, you know, reading reviews. I keep reading reviews. And so I keep hearing a lot about Quicken too. But that didn't suit my needs. What I keep hearing about is QuickBooks, because what I do right now is when I work with clients, I go out to their homes. I work in their homes. I'm a consultant. You know, they ask me questions, or I have like, say, fires to put out. You know, there's a problem that they want solved. I help them with their problem. And then along the way, they'll think of other things that they didn't even know that they needed, which is part of the fun. Or they have a project that they want to do, or they have, you know, like a website or a blog, or they want to set up like a smart home. I mean, you know, any multitude of things. And then, you know, it might just be like a one-off thing, or it might be where I go back, you know, over the course of, you know, several months or several weeks, or, you know, it might just be a couple of times a year. Sometimes I run a tab even. It could be just like, you know, it's a quick phone call. It's just a little fire to put out here and there. So either way, I have my list of needs. And so because I have to drive, I need to track my mileage. I need to track my business expenses. I need to track my hours, and I need to track my income. So I need to track money going in, money coming out, and then all of the things that are involved with being able to earn that living. And so for that reason, I need to have something that helps me manage that. Now, how have I been doing it? The hard way. I'm my own bookkeeper. It's just me. I'm a sole proprietor. The only thing I usually rope my husband into every year when we do our taxes is like, can you please help me figure out like how many trips did we take to the pharmacy? Because, you know, we have to medical mileage, how many trips did we take to the doctor? And I track that stuff, but I don't track it in the best way. Like I track it on the calendar. I'm a really, really big calendar task list kind of person. I have tried services in the past, like Mile IQ. I've tried Zoho. I've tried a lot of free things just because I wasn't sure that I could really justify the cost. But now I'm at a point where And again, like, you know, I do this kind of like part-time. I still have a family to manage. I'm starting to work more hours now that the kids are older. And so I'm making a little bit more of an income than I had in the past. And so because I'm working more hours, making a little bit more income, and I've got my hands full with so many things, I need to automate more of this stuff, because the way I have been doing it is kind of basically like cobbling things together and then downloading the transactions from my banks and stuff and putting spreadsheets together. Now, my accountant, so that's the only other person that I basically employ, is I have a CPA and she does our taxes every year. And she loves my spreadsheets and she tells me I'm really organized. But in order for me to get that organized, it takes, you know, an all-nighter or two, or like, you know, several weeks of like stressing and biting my nails and trying to like dig through receipts. And, you know, we've got not just one of us, but there's, you know, three of us here with ADHD, and we're all on the spectrum, and it just gets really disorganized really fast. I save things, but they don't always get really put where they need to go when they need to go there. And so I'm trying to do things more paperlessly, but of course, you know, there's still receipts that you still have to keep. You have to furnish those. So whether I have paper or whether I have scanned or I've downloaded them, I save them in email, I save them in folders, I save the paper versions. So I've got everything saved and I've got it all in places, but the paper like needs to be put in date order because it doesn't always get filed. So that's what I kind of wrote my husband into. Him or now my oldest, they'll sit down and like put all the receipts together in date order, you know, sort them by category and that sort of thing. And then, you know, then I have the youngest, he goes and shreds the paper. So they help me out with a couple of little things here. And then my husband helps me figure out like the mileage report. I track it kind of as I go, but then there's things that I forget along the way, or, you know, just get distracted and forget to write it down. I've notated it. I've documented it somewhere, but it just didn't get added somewhere. You know what I mean? So I need something that's going to be automated for me. So I've been digging. And I decided like, okay, this is madness. So I made a spreadsheet with all of the business finance and personal finance. So there's a reason I included personal finance on there, because I still believe that I could probably use, until I get in there and it proves me wrong, I still believe I could probably end up using a personal finance app or suite of apps or something and still be able to get my business needs met with, even with a personal app, if I just kind of like think outside the box a little bit. So the ones that I'm looking at, there was a sale. It ended, I think, yesterday or today. There was a sale on QuickBooks because I kept reading, you know, so many reviews about it. So many people say they use QuickBooks. Because why? Because it is for businesses. It is for small business. It's for large business too. I know a couple of clients that use it. There's a lot of people that, you know, that's all they use. And I know why. People get mired in it. They invest so much time and energy and so much money into these services that they kind of get stuck. And I can see why, because once you invest that much into the front end of front loading it, it's really hard to get out. So this is a really huge decision. So it's not something that I'm going to take very lightly. So it's kind of nerve wracking. I have lost some sleep over it, if I'm honest. And so I've started out with QuickBooks just because that's kind of what's been recommended online from friends, from colleagues, from clients. And I gotta say, I'm not liking it too much. I had much higher expectations going into it. It's so expensive. It is, I mean, I can't even tell you what the price is overall, because there's so many tiers and it gets really confusing really quickly. And you think like, you look at all the tiers and you think, okay, well, on one end of the spectrum, it's like, okay, that's way too overkill for my needs. I don't need payroll. I'm just one person. But then if I looked at like the bottom level on the other end of the spectrum, like, well, that's not quite enough because I want to be able to track my hours. Now, I use an app called Hours Tracker. I'll put links to these in the show notes. And I've been using that for many, many years, and I do plan on sticking with it. It's still going to be more affordable, even though they are raising the prices. I do hope he adds some more features and maybe even a Mac app in the future, because I really would like to have that. But it suits my needs. I have kind of built a workflow around it that's just kind of what I do. I think there's better ways to do it. It'd be awesome if it could actually track mileage within it, because it does have GPS. You can set up locations and things. So I'm just saying that app has a lot of potential from where it is right now. But that, I think in the future, they're going to be charging like $47.99, I think, a year. So that's not bad. I mean, I think it works out to around $4 or $5 a month or something. So probably going to stick with that. But QuickBooks makes it look like, okay, on the outside, it makes it look like we have this one app to rule them all. You know, it does mileage tracking. It does invoicing. You can take payments. It slices. It dices. It'll bake your bread. It'll fold your sheets. It'll fold your fitted sheets. You know, like it says it does all these things. But when you really get down into it and you feed it all this information, for me, it's been kind of meh. Like, and I know that, you know, to really give it a fair shake, what I really need to do is they give you a free trial to you basically can talk to somebody in tech support, you know, but then after that, well, then they want your money, you know? And so everything within QuickBooks is an upsell, everything, even, and this for me was a deal breaker. And it's like, there's so much information. It's so information overload. There's such a huge, huge learning curve when you first go into it and you get so confused and overwhelmed and, you know, it could just be my ADHD brain. And I know they try really hard. Like, you know, even there is a desktop version for the Mac. For a while there, I was like, well, I don't like this because what if I, you know, lately we've been having brownouts and we've had some internet outages. Well, what if I have an internet outage and I, you know, I'm like, well, I can't do anything on the internet. So maybe I'll work on my books. You know, maybe I'll go and tag all of that stuff. Well, if you don't have an internet connection, then you're SOL. You can't. Well, so you can. I need to like turn off Wi-Fi and test this out, but it looks like there's a desktop version, but you still have to log into it. So I kind of think that I'm not sure if you can actually use the desktop version without the internet. So that'll be something that I'd have to test or not, because I'm kind of feeling like I'm going to give up on it because there's just so many questions. There's still so many things. It's like, well, what if I want to do this? Oh, no, you can't do that. But yet, I mean, this stuff can cost you like $700 a year for some of the basic stuff. I mean, it costs so much money. And I know you got to spend money to make money. And I know it's the cost of doing business that I totally get. I mean, I don't want, you know, you can't get everything for free. I totally understand that. But you would think that for something that costs this much, where there's other pieces of software that do things the same or better for less, why aren't they doing it? And what I'm talking about is, for example, in QuickBooks, in order to be able to take payments, you have to buy their proprietary card reader. Now, to be fair, in comparison, what I'm using already is called Square or Square Up. And Square Up, they also had a card reader, you know, back in the beginning. And I remember, I think it was around $50. But what was cool about Square Up was, I forget how it worked out. Like, I think in the beginning, in the promotion, if you did like X amount of business or something like that, they gave you the reader for free. So there was an incentive. It was incentivized and then I guess subsidized somehow so that if you did business with them, you got the Square reader for free. And so I was able to get the Square reader for free. So I didn't have to shell out that money. And their Square reader is actually pretty adorable. It's very small. It fits in the palm of your hand. It's really tiny. It takes credit cards where you can dip the chip, or it takes tap to pay. It doesn't take I don't think it takes a Stripe, or maybe it does. I can't remember now. I know there was one that you used to be able to plug into the little headphone port and then you could swipe the Stripe of the card. I can't remember now because I don't have it in front of me. I think it does. I think you can do all three with it. But the Stripe, it's like I haven't used a Stripe credit card in years. I think that is just, I don't think most people use that anymore. But nowadays, I haven't actually used the Square reader. I keep it charged just in case, but I haven't used the Square reader in probably about 2 years. I mean, I can't remember the last time, but if I had to guess, it's probably been a good 2 years that I have used the Square reader. And the reason for that is because Square offers tap to pay. And let me tell you something, tap to pay on the iPhone, my clients love that. I mean, you should see the looks on their faces. Even the ones that have done it repeatedly, they love it. I love it. We all get giddy. Like, they're happy to give me money when we use Tap to Pay on the iPhone because it is so freaking cool. And especially for people who have never seen it, it's the first time. Just the other day when I got a new client, he offered to pay me with a check. And this is the kind of person I am. I knew that, see, what, every time I do that, like, it costs me money. That is the cost of doing business. Every time you square, they take a cut, right? I have to pay them, like, you know, 3% or something like that. That's the cost of doing business. It's the fee that I pay to make the transaction safe for my customers, safe for me. It's encrypted, all that kind of stuff. It costs even more if I issue an invoice. But I'm willing to pay that fee for peace of mind between us both, right? But if I were to take a check, that doesn't cost me anything because I just deposit that with my banking app, with my USAA app. I just take a picture of the check and deposit it that way. It doesn't cost me anything. I can go into Square and log it as a check payment, but it didn't cost me anything. But so the other day when we were checking out, I was talking to him about it, you know, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll show you how it works because he wanted to use Apple Pay because he, you know, wasn't sure about it. And so I made sure he was all set up for it. So I knew it was going to cost me several dollars for this transaction, but I did it anyway, even though he's going to pay me with a check because I wanted to show him, you know, how it worked. And the look on his face mm-hmm. when we did that was worth every single penny of it. You know what I mean? Like it's just that cool. And the fact that QuickBooks doesn't have that just built in is just like, that's just shocking that they don't have tap.
Well, let me ask you about QuickBooks. If mm-hmm. let's say you and I were partners mm-hmm. and you know, we were working together, could we share that subscription or is that just for you or just for me? Or would I have to get my own subscription to QuickBooks? Is that something that we would share? Because it sounds like it depends.
It depends on the tier.
It sounds like QuickBooks is overkill for one person.
They have I can never remember all of the names of the plans, but they have a plan and then they change branding and stuff too. So they have a plan that's called Solopreneur. So I started out on the Essentials plan only because it has time tracking built in and I wanted to see what that was like. I don't think the Solopreneur plan had any time tracking in it. And then there was a plan in between there and it did, but it didn't sound like it was like automated or something, whereas like the Essentials like has automated time tracking. And I wanted to see what that was about. But this plan that I have, you can add myself and like two more users. So it has a total of three users. So yes, I think I could add you on as like, I guess you would be like an employee or something. Mm. So like if you were helping me, like say I said, Elisa, you know, I need you to go out to this client and, you know, collect their hard drives or like, you know, say I gave you like an assignment or something and then you had to take payment from the client, then yeah, then you would be like an employee or, you know, a staff member or something. Then yeah, you would share it and it would be on your phone and then you could use it too because you can use, you know, multiple users. So again, there's so many tiers. There's several different plans. So it is really geared towards businesses. I mean, I can see why it's the top dog. I can see that. It seems like they have a lot of support. I mean, they should for the amount of money that they're charging. There is complaints, and those complaints are warranted. It bugs me because, like, you know, I'll lay in bed at night and I'll think, okay, I just want to like log a couple things, and I go and I open it on my phone, and it just freezes and it just sits there. Like I'm still stuck in the onboarding process. They walk you through it. I mean, it's designed really nicely. Like right now I'm looking at the desktop version on the Mac and there's a flow chart. They have this checklist. I mean, it's meant to kind of walk you through it. And then if you kind of get stuck, they offer to kind of help you out. And they're constantly saying like, you know, set an appointment. It's free. Like it's going to expire. You better get in there, set an appointment. I think, I don't know, if I was making more money, I guess maybe I would stick with it. And if I wasn't so entrenched in the Apple ecosystem, I guess it wouldn't be as big of a deal. But they still don't have syncing with Apple Card. And I know, you know, sure, I can just download, you know, month by month, but I don't want to wait that long because I use Apple Card for almost everything. So it's the taking the payments on the phone that's a big, big deal breaker for me right now. So I'm probably going to just stick with Square. What I'm doing now, I'm probably going to abandon QuickBooks and I'm just going to go back to that. And I'm going to move on to, you know, trying these other things. We got to wrap up because I have another appointment right after this. So we'll save the other topics for next time. So we'll have another show to talk about those other things, which are some more exciting topics. But I just wanted to kind of get the conversation started. So next time I'll tell you what I ended up with and if I've started a new finance app. But we'll keep chugging along on my spreadsheet here. And so that's where I'm at with QuickBooks for now. And sorry it didn't work out. It'll probably work for other people, and I'm sure other people really love it. But for somebody who's really entrenched in the Apple ecosystem, not so much.
Now that's the one you keep seeing advertised on TV all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I dove in. I was like, okay, they have a sale. Let's get this going, and you know, I'll make it work. I'll make it work. I'll justify the cost. And then when I found out that I had to get a card reader and that I can't just use my phone, I was like, what? It's not just built in. I don't know why I didn't check that first. Because I was just so overwhelmed with all the other features. It was just kind of it shouldn't have been an afterthought. And now I learned. This is how you learn. So. You learned it here from me, folks. So if you're on the fence about it, think about that. Well, if you've got an iPhone.
You've got 8 different choices here. So
Yes, I've got more choices. And then there's more that are not on that list I want to go in with the other things. So talk about that more next time.
I don't know. Sometimes you start to wonder, is technology too much? Is it just, seriously, is it just easier in the long run for you to just say, I went to so-and-so's house, I got there at 3:00, I left at 4:15, I drove 10 miles round trip, the end. And just put it into your own spreadsheet, your own documentation that you keep track of. Sometimes in the long run, that's easier.
Yeah, it might be. It's just that for me, like, I need that automation. I need it as an accommodation because I just won't stick with it. I mean, I can make beautiful spreadsheets and they're wonderful. And when I make them, they're great. But to get that information in there, because I forget.
That's the time it takes to get the whole spreadsheet set up and the formulas and so forth.
And then you've got to like train yourself to adopt the workflow and you've got to do it. And if you miss it, then forget about it. And then you don't get paid and then you don't get your taxes reported properly. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's all important.
Yeah, it is. Okay. So, Melissa, if people want to get in touch with you to let you know what software they use to tracking finances, how would they do so?
Please do so. And also, you solar geeks out there, I want to hear from you. Mm. So please go to our website. It is geekiestshowever.com. We have a contact tab you can click on. We also have email. Our email address is podcast@geekiestshowever.com. We are also on socials. Where are we at on socials?
We are on Mastodon at Geekiest Show Ever at TechHub.social. I am at SenseiDai at Mastodon.social. We are at Geekiest Show Ever on Threads and Instagram. We're also at Geekiest Show on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. And Melissa, if you want to find out for her, just go to themacmommy.com and you will find all of her socials.
That's me.
That's you. So we want to thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a few weeks. And until then, please stay safe.